Welcome to WTBU News Today. I'm Will Andronico. Boston was a bit rainy yesterday with brief showers in the evening and nighttime, but humidity, mixed with 80-degree highs, made for a sticky day in Beantown. Today the rain is expected to continue through this morning, with cooler highs around 66 degrees. Tomorrow we'll see a similar temperature, with a high of 65 degrees and mostly sunny skies. But on Sunday, temperatures could rise to a 75-degree high, with partly cloudy skies. Now we'll move into the Boston University COVID-19 testing dashboard update. On September 9th, six members of the BU community tested positive for COVID-19. Four of them were students and two were employees. On average, BU's lab took 23.6 hours to process each test, a significant drop from last week when the university hit a new peak at 39.5 hours. The vast majority of cases are coming from students on the BU's Charles River campus, with a select few cases from Charles River campus staff and medical campus staff and students. In total, 86 members of the BU community have tested positive this fall, 24 are currently in isolation, and 46 have recovered from the disease. Varsha Subramanian is here now to report on BU's Lobster Night.
With a completely different menu and no dine-in option, Lobster Night, one of BU's favorite traditions, looked completely different on Thursday night. Instead of boiled lobsters, cold lobster sandwiches with a side of corn chowder were served. A colorful dessert menu that included chocolate brownies, snickerdoodle cookies, and strawberry glazed bars were also offered. However, unlike previous years, these meals could only be enjoyed by BU students, faculty, and staff, who could take away their meals from BU's three dining halls on the Charles River campus as long as they wore masks. Strict social distancing rules were enforced while being served. In Dubai, UAE, I'm Varsha Subramanian for WTBU News.
Joining us now is Grace Ramey for an update out of Brown University.
The two largest hospital groups in Rhode Island, Lifespan and Care New England, have agreed to merge together and form one nonprofit academic medical center with Brown University. The financial insecurity in each organization, paired with the global pandemic, brought negotiations back to the table almost a year after both organizations originally said no. The process of merging together will take upwards of a year and will begin with acquiring approval from the Rhode Island Department of Health, the Attorney General's Office, and the Federal Trade Commission. With the two hospital systems being the state's largest private employers, this merger will be a great victory for the governor of Rhode Island, who urged the two systems to come together last year when it appeared as though a Massachusetts-based care system was planning to buy out Care New England. As the pandemic has brought both Rhode Island systems closer together, a merger between the two is now seen as a natural step to take in order to alleviate financial challenges they both separately face. However, in these early stages of negotiations, Lifespan, Care New England, and Brown have yet to reach an agreement on the governance structure of the new entity. In Boston, Massachusetts, I am Grace Ramey for WTBU News.
And now we'll head over to Hannah Yoshinaga for a story from Capitol Hill.
Senate Republicans on Thursday failed to advance their latest stimulus package proposal after weeks of negotiating the plan within the Republican caucus. The bill was 8 votes shy of the necessary 60 to make it to the next stage of the approval process, with all Democrats present and Kentucky Republican Rand Paul voting against it. After the measure was voted down, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell accused Senate Democrats of caring more about politics than helping American families. McConnell introduced the GOP's new proposal on Tuesday. In addition to providing $300 a week in federal unemployment insurance, which was only half of what House Democrats have proposed, the bill would have allowed small businesses to apply for another round of Paycheck Protection Program loans and created a liability shield to protect businesses, universities, and other institutions from coronavirus-related lawsuits. While $105 billion would have been granted to educational institutions, two-thirds of the money would have only been available to schools opening for in-person instruction. Democrat and Republican lawmakers are hopeful another stimulus bill can be passed before the November election, but other government officials, including Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, have expressed concern about whether another package can be agreed upon in time. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Hannah Yoshinaga for WTBU News.
Next, a story out of Bob Woodward's latest book from Lily Kepner.
Bob Woodward, a journalist known for breaking the Watergate scandal with Carl Bernstein, recently revealed in his new book that President Donald Trump intentionally downplayed the severity of the coronavirus pandemic. The novel, as well as audio of a private interview between Bernstein and Trump on March 19th, caught Trump acknowledging that the pandemic was more deadly than the flu and could affect anyone. This directly contrasts public comments he made in later months saying the virus is not a big deal. In the recorded interview, Trump said, quote, "I want to play it down. I still like playing it down because I don't want to create a panic," end quote. Even earlier, on February 7th, he said, quote, "This is deadly stuff," end quote. The Biden campaign seized upon Trump's intentional inaction in a recent campaign ad, deeply criticizing Trump for his damaging rhetoric. On Wednesday, Trump defended his words by saying he was trying to project confidence and be a quote-unquote cheerleader for the country, and refused the idea that his inaction worsened the toll of the virus. Woodward's new novel, Rage, follows his 2018 novel, Fear, Trump in the White House, and is set to be released in the public this month. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Lily Kepner for WTBU News.
Finally, an update from Victoria Popovska about a Peace Prize winner who is now under UN protection.
On Thursday, Nobel Peace Prize winner Denis Mukwege was put under UN protection after receiving death threats. Mukwege is a gynecologist whose career spans more than 20 years, treating tens of thousands of rape victims. In 2018, Mukwege was a joint winner of the Nobel Peace Prize with Nadia Murad. They were jointly awarded for their efforts to end the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war and armed conflict. The death threats against Dr. Mukwege, according to the UN, stemmed from his condemnation of the continued killing of civilians in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. The UN also reported the threats are also in response to his renewed calls for accountability for human rights violations. The threats against Dr. Mukwege have been made through social media and direct phone calls to him and his family. Protection was also deployed at Panzi Hospital, where Mukwege works, as the patients and staff there have also been targeted by the threats. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Victoria Popovska for WTBU News.
That's it for this edition of WTBU News Today. Be sure to tune in to our full program every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern over on WTBU Radio. On behalf of Alex Corey, Evan Jimenez, Megan Gregoire, Mia McCarthy, and Grace Ferguson, I'm Will Andronico, reporting from Boston, Massachusetts, from WTBU News.